Are you really ready?
I'm so ready.
Are you ready for this?
Give it to me.
Are you ready for this? Welcome to the Zombie Book Club, the only zombie book club where sometimes a book is a movie and sometimes the zombies are your childhood friends who grow up technically be adults. They're still living with you and don't pay rent, don't move out, and sometimes use racial slurs that you find uncomfortable, but you, for some reason, don't say anything about it.
Yikes.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, Dan.
I lost my place.
You're introducing yourself now. You're saying who you are.
I'm Dan. I'm a writer, self-proclaimed, and I'm writing a book based in the zombie apocalypse. And for the duration of this podcast, I just want to say that we accept everybody. But if you still think Trump is cool, just get out.
Yep.
And Leah's here.
Yeah, I'm Leah. I'm Dan's wife, and I'm just here as your one-dimensional female sidekick.
I don't think you give yourself enough credit, Leah.
Why not?
I think you're at least two-dimensional.
So a piece of paper.
You're a piece of paper.
Which is actually technically three-dimensional.
I got to ask you a question. Being promoted from a one-dimensional character to a two-dimensional character, like, how does that feel?
It feels like the second wave of feminism, which is unsatisfactory. I'd like progress. To be 3D. Yes.
Progress. If only you could be three-dimensional, like the most basic of male characters in movies.
Oh, what a dream that would be.
What a dream.
Maybe one day there'll be a book or a movie where there's some women I could say. I think there will be actually some three-dimensional female characters, not just sidekicks.
One day.
We'll see.
We can only hope. I think Netflix is getting there.
Maybe. Actually, yes. When we review finally Black Summer, there's some good.
Black Summer has some. Well, you know what's funny about Black Summer? Quick segue. It's interesting because there's almost no dialogue in it. So it's interesting that that's the one where we have three-dimensional female characters when they don't talk and don't have lines.
I thought that's the point, right? As women, we're not really supposed to speak unless spoken to.
You know, do you think that was intentional in Black Summer?
I think it's going to be too much if they talk, right? Yeah. It's too groundbreaking. So
we want to make a statement. Yeah. A statement how in movies, especially zombie movies, women aren't allowed to talk or have ideas. You just assume that they do if you want to think that hard about it. But anyways, welcome to the podcast. We made this podcast just for you, a fellow survivor or zombie. I think either one are probably listening right now.
I hope so.
Those are the two types of people in this world. They're survivors and they're zombies. Leah, we just got back from our Christmas travel vacation. I struggle to call it vacation because that's never the case as a family.
No.
It was nice though. I love meeting your family. I love meeting your cousins who I've never met before, and I didn't even know who they were.
Actually,
until I met them.
I have a question for you. Could you tell we were all related? I don't think I asked you that question.
Yeah, there's definitely some family resemblance. Like you and your two cousins that you were talking to for the majority. You were right. You definitely all have the same eyes.
Yeah, it's the Taylor eyes. They are they are a family trait. I was told by them that I have the largest ones, but that's only because Amy's gone. My sister Amy was still here.
Yeah.
She would win the biggest eye competition in the family. I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not, but you know,
you have very big eyes. You have like giant circles in your face for eyes.
They'd be really scary if they were zombie eyes.
Yeah, you'd be a scary zombie.
I definitely would. I also have some real canines.
It was a rough trip though. Driving there, we thought we got driving there was the worst for us, our experience. It was as this blizzard that like fucking killed a lot of people this year. It was the day that it started. We picked the day that this blizzard started to like go on a 500-mile road trip. How far is it? Do you know how far it is?
In miles, I definitely don't know. Actually, I don't know in kilometers either. Yeah. But I know that it's like, if we didn't stop, it would be 9 hours and 31 minutes. Yeah.
Good luck never stopping.
Yeah. I gotta pee at least once.
But we have a four-wheel drive truck. We have studded tires. Oh, the studded tires debacle. How did we not consider this as part of our update segment of our podcast, Leah? Did you know that everybody in Ontario knows that you're Southern not supposed Ontario. To have studded tires? They're illegal.
Yeah, or at least my stepdad's family is really, really committed to this law.
Yeah, well, also your cousins mentioned it too. They were like,
they did?
You got studded tires? You know they're illegal, right?
Law-abiding citizens, my family. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because even a police officer would have to try so hard to see studs and tires when you're driving. Like the only chance they would have is if we were parked in a parking lot and they just happened to drive by and we're looking at our tires for some unknown reason. And even then, I doubt would even give a shit.
Especially with the Vermont license plate. I feel like that's enough. They're like, oh, you live in the fucking mountains.
Yeah.
Also, we live on roads that erode like instantaneously as soon as winter comes. So, yeah. I think it's very reasonable, but we made it. We saw on that first road trip up, it took us 2 days instead of one.
Yeah. We stopped halfway, got a hotel room and you were just like, nope.
It was fucking terrible. The dogs were like, well, they were drugged on these like doggy treats that I gave them to make them sleepy.
Yeah. I was kind of jealous of the dogs, to be honest. They were on drugs. Dan. I was not.
It was so brutal. Like there was a point where I remember we were driving like, you know, if the highway speed in kilometers was 100, like most people drive 120, we were maybe driving like 30 kilometers an hour in the good parts.
With kilometers an hour.
Yeah, kilometers, which is like, what, 20 miles, like 20 15, something?
18, not, I don't know. It's a really small amount of miles per hour.
Yeah, it was so painful. But that wasn't even the worst blizzard. It was
it just continued, right? So like when we came up, we thought it was something that we saw, what, like 11 cars in the ditch and 5 or 6 semi trucks
jackknifed. Yeah, it was intense.
But then on our return trip a week later, like after the blizzards had all gone through, that's right when Rochester and northern New York was getting pummeled, actually. So we were ahead of that storm, following another storm. and we literally saw hundreds of cars and semi trucks on the side of the road.
It was horrifying.
Which car stands out? Which wreck stands out the most?
You know the answer to this, but I'll share with the three listeners.
Yeah.
It was the one that was perched on top of a guardrail like a bird. It was completely untouched. It didn't look from the side that I could see. I could not see any actual like parts that had been crumpled from a crash. It was just on top of a guardrail. I don't understand.
It was just sitting there like Birdman.
Yeah. Like a crane would have had to lift it there. So I really don't understand.
Yeah. It was sitting on it.
Can you imagine getting out of
that
car?
The bird, the crane.
Like, exactly.
A long way.
Like a baby. Yeah, that was a stretch, but we'll take it. Yeah. But like, can you imagine being in that car? Like, somehow you survive and your car is basically untouched, but you realize that you're on top of a guardrail.
Yeah.
And then you have to get out.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know how the tow truck would approach that. I guess they would have to like roll off their rollback, like, and not put it on the ground. They would just have to like line it up to the back of the car and then just start dragging it across the guardrail onto the back of the truck. Like that's the only way I could imagine, other than bringing in a crane and picking it up.
If you drag it, though, you're going to ruin it because it wasn't on its wheels. It was weird. But yeah. I, as a former long haul truck driver, Dan, what was your favorite? Your favorite semi-trailer,
you rate the car accidents. I'll rate the semi-truck accidents. Yes. My favorite accident where somebody might have died. There was this one truck that went into the median And I guess as it hit the snowbank, the force of the snow must have been so crazy as it hit the snowbank, because it tore the cab off of the frame, twisted it, and set it back down sideways on the frame. Like, I couldn't even imagine that experience being in there, because I've hit some really big bumps. I've done some crazy things in a semi truck or a dump truck or whatever kind of truck. I've driven all the trucks. They don't have suspension that's very forgiving. So like, if you hit like a pothole, like you feel it, like it jars you. It makes your teeth smash together when you hit it. I could only imagine a force so powerful that it rips the cab off the body and turns it sideways. Like, the engine was fully exposed. The hood was like on the ground in front of it, and the cab was turned sideways. And we looked at it and we're like, we don't understand what we're looking at. What happened?
And there was a solid like 25 minutes of driving in backed up traffic to discover that was the thing that was why we were backed up. And it was not even on the road. It was just people slowing down to look, which is fair, because I'm sure we also were slow, being like, what?
They just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
For 25 minutes, we were basically stopped in the road because people were slowing down to see this fucking truck.
Yeah. The good news is, though, we got there safe. We got home safe. I saw my family I haven't seen in many years, thanks to COVID and just life. And now we're home. But I want to ask you, Dan, even though I'm going against the rules here, what was your favorite part of our time in Canada?
Oh, you know, I don't know if I have an answer for this. I mean, overall, I enjoyed that we were able to get an Airbnb thanks to your mom.
Yeah, that was really nice.
She didn't have enough space at her house because there's people that are living in her like extra area of her house. So she felt really bad and she got us an Airbnb. Which was really nice. And it was like a nice little tiny cottage that had a lot of things that needed to be fixed for sure. Like the bathroom door wasn't even screwed on. So I had to get my multi-tool out and do it by hand to fix that.
The table, can opener.
The legs of the chairs around the table were coming off. Like, you were so afraid that I was just going to crash to the floor and die.
Well, you were sitting right by the wood stove or gas stove, I guess. And I was
I think it's electric, but
no, I had some kind of flame in there. But anyways,
it was a plasma flame.
This chair was on its last leg, literally. And Dan was sitting on it and I was watching it slowly fall apart underneath him. And he would not get off the fucking chair. I was get off the chair.
I was aware of it and I was balancing on its last leg.
I mean, an impressive Cirque du Soleil feat, Dan, but I care about your safety.
Yeah, I appreciate that you care about my safety.
That's good for the apocalypse, especially.
Well, it was a nice, cozy, really tiny place, but really cozy. I enjoyed that much, very, very much. And it was so cold there. And my least favorite part of the trip is when I was being a stereotypical white man and refused to wear a hat when we went on a dog walk, and then I got frostbite on my ears.
Yep. And even though I was like, Dan, I mean, I hated to admit that I did it, but I was like, Dan, make sure you bring a hat and gloves. And then he had work gloves, which are not insulated, and a baseball hat. Yeah. And we had like terrible winds that whole time. It was so cold. But anyhow. Yes.
I want to know what your favorite part of the trip was.
Hands down, seeing my nephew. He is 6 years old, my brother's son, and I'm not really like a young baby person. I like humans that can talk to me in English. So I really am grateful that he's at an age where we could interact and have fun together. So that was the best part, was hanging out with my little buddy.
He's definitely still at the age where communicating is still kind of difficult. And I mean, maybe that's because of an ADHD, but there were a few times that we had some good moments with him. We played some video games. We basically, the idea to getting a 6-year-old to cooperate is just be like, show me how good at video games you are.
Yeah. Show us Animal Crossing, which is how that's now the plan. I'm going to get a Nintendo Switch and I'm going to play Animal Crossing with him virtually, which will be really fun because he's a sweet pea, but he also really loves monsters and all kinds of things like that. So Probably the most cringe moment, but I found quite entertaining of our visit, was the moment where Dan and I were telling our family about the fact that we are doing this podcast, which I'm never letting them listen to, but we were just talking about it generally. And we were like, oh, well, maybe we could like call in some random person in our family and ask them a question, like a survival question from something we've read. And then was it you or me who asked my nephew?
I don't know. I don't want to take responsibility.
I think it was me. I'm pretty sure it was me. But I, for some backstory before I do this, I thought it was perfectly fine to ask him about zombies because this kid is playing like super violent games.
Yeah,
Minecraft. And the last time I saw him, which was last March, the things that he and I were drawing together, and he kept drawing me monsters, and the monsters were called things like spider blood and shark blood, and then he would describe in great detail how they're going to eat me and that they were very, very real. So I felt like a zombie hypothetical question was appropriate for a six-year-old.
I mean, he plays Minecraft. There's zombies in Minecraft. Minecraft is back when it first came out, it was a game that you didn't know was a zombie survival game. You're like, oh, I'm gonna collect bricks and build a little house. And then the sun goes down and you're like, what the fuck is this game? I'm so scared. I think people know what they're dealing with now when they play Minecraft. But back in the day, I had some scary moments that I was just like, why is it like this?
Meanwhile, six-year-olds are playing it, but he's fine.
The first time that I saw a squid in Minecraft, it scared the living shit out of me. I jumped into water and I was just like trying to get whatever I'm getting in water. Oh my God. And there's this thing with tentacles and a big toothy gaping maw coming at me. And I'm like, holy shit, what is that? And I jump out of the water and it was a squid. And the squids are completely harmless. They won't hurt you, but they are fucking terrifying in Minecraft. They're scary.
So that's what my nephew is playing. Good to know.
Yeah. Oh, there's other things your nephew's playing. It blew my hair back when I looked through his game collection, because, you know, I'm not judging. I'm not a father. I'm barely an uncle. and I don't know how to raise children. But you know, their approach to raising our nephew is very careful. They don't want him to consume any violent media. They don't want him to see anything that's really scary or something that will upset him. And I get that, because he would, first of all, he'd probably love it. He'd probably draw pictures of whatever scary, violent shit that you showed him and just obsess about it. And for years, just be like, I like it when people die in movies. That's what we're dealing with.
He's a total sweetheart, to be clear. He's a very sweet little boy. I love him. He's just also excited. A little boy.
He gets excited about things. And I was looking through his games and I found Hello Neighbor. And I could see
how it sounds innocent.
Yeah, it sounds innocent. Like, oh, it's a nice little fun neighborhood game where you talk to your neighbors. Hello Neighbor is basically 1984. Like, it's high concept, it's scary as hell. It's upsetting, it's disturbing, and it's not for kids, even though it has cartoon characters on the cover. And I'm just like, do you know what you bought this child?
Who knows? And who knows whose decision that is? But we're not parents, to be clear. We are not parents. We are absolutely unqualified. And that was why my mom, his grandma, when I was like, Cameron, what would you do if you were on top of a bus, like on the roof of a bus, and you were surrounded by zombies that are fast moving, right? Yeah. Were they fast moving? Yes. This is a Black Summer moment.
Oh,
what would you do? And I forget what he said. I think he said he was going to like beat them all up and run away, which is one option.
Yeah.
But my mom was horrified. But to be clear, my mom is the opposite of Ken. Oh, shoot. I wasn't going to say his name. Bleep it out.
His name is Spider-Blood.
Spider-Blood. Yes. My nephew Spider-Blood. My nephew Spider-Blood is the opposite of my mom. My mom can't even watch The Jungle Book without getting upset. So she was very, very was disturbed horrified. When I asked my nephew this question. I still think it's appropriate. He loved it. He thought it was great.
Your mother's take on it was basically, why do you insist on ruining my grandson?
Yeah.
And I get that. You know, I mean, I was exposed to a lot of stuff when I was a kid, but I'm also a very different person than Spider-Blood. I think in a lot of ways we're very similar, and I think that's why I like being around him, because I see a mini version of myself in a lot of ways.
Definitely. But
he's very much like the hyperactive ADHD, where I was very like internally ADHD, where all of my thoughts were bouncing around like crazy, but I sat still and I didn't say anything.
Did you sit still? Those are not the stories I've been told by your mother.
I mean, who can tell?
I think that you might have been a lot more like spider blood than you realized. The two of you doing slot cars together was my best memory.
Oh my God, we played with slot cars. Oh, it was a great time. I like all the same toys as spider blood. Almost said his name. Spider blood loves slot cars. He also for Christmas got a giant Hot Wheels like garage thing that that has like little ramps and stuff, and that goes down. There's a dinosaur that'll eat the cars. It's crazy. And I was tasked with building it, which was immediately my hot take was like, oh my God, there's so many pieces, I can't handle this. I need to run away as soon as possible. But then dove into it and immediately was
obsessed.
Like, I can't stop until this is finished. And then I need to play with it for an hour.
Yeah, it was quite adorable. We were supposed to be leaving Christmas morning, and I was like, are you gonna walk away from this?
Like, Leah's like, I'm putting my boots on. I'm like, just a few more seconds. I got to attach ramp A to slot B.
Oh, well, now you're being too kind to yourself. You were playing with the dinky toys by that point. It was already set up.
In Canada, they're called dinky toys. Mm-hmm. Dinky cars?
Dinky wheels. Dinky cars. Yeah, dinky cars.
Yeah. Which I think is a great name.
Who named it that? An adult, I want to point out.
We also partook in Canadian cannabis gummies, which was a good time. We didn't get, you know, we can get these things in Vermont legally. So, you know, it's not like the first time we've ever had them, but I definitely underestimated them. They have like a limit, like each package can only have like a certain amount of THC per package. So the gummies were 2.5 milligrams, which we're used to like 5 milligram ones in Vermont. Yeah. So we're like, oh, so you just take two of these and it's one of the Vermont ones.
Absolutely not.
No way. I don't know what the difference is, but I do know that I took two and I was done. I was just like, I was seeing ghosts. I was I was sinking into the couch. The world was spinning around me.
Can you imagine being in a cottage that is not your own, basically in the dark, because that's how we roll, Dan and I. And your partner casually asking you if you think ghosts are scary, if they're your relative, while staring very intently at the darkest corner in the house. And I'm just like, what is happening? Who's here? Are they a zombie or a ghost? Turns out it was my grandpa.
Yeah, as far as I can
think.
Tell.
Yeah.
I described
fits the profile.
I described what I saw was a silhouette out of the corner of my eye. I didn't see it when I looked directly at it, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw a silhouette. And instead of being a shadow, it was an area where the light was brighter. So like a reverse silhouette. And it seemed like a tall-ish man, kind of hunched forward. So I explained that, and your mom was like, yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah. And you were like, and he's got like a really big forehead also, like my grandpa. And to be clear, my Dan met my grandfather like only once, the first time we were in a relationship in 2010. So there's no way you could have really remembered or known, I don't think. But
I mean, I have a clear image of his face in my mind. But I've also seen like a lot of pictures.
Yeah, maybe you were just hallucinating. Who knows?
I mean, what's the difference between a hallucination and a ghost sighting? What's the difference?
I guess it's your interpretation of what happened. That's your only difference, is I saw a ghost or I hallucinated. It's your decision which one you want to believe.
Either one. Mm-hmm. A little bit of both. How about that?
There we go.
So we discovered that Canadian cannabis gummies turn you into an absolute zombie.
And that was only 5 milligrams, which is like a low dose for you back here at home.
It is. I would have 10 here.
No. You would not have 10.
Not 10 gummies, 10 milligrams.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
We tried five. We tried five milligram cannabis gummies.
Five, I did turn into a zombie.
You did. You were terrified. I tried to calm you down by putting on like Wild Baby Animals on Netflix, and that didn't go well.
I swear they were not baby animals or cute. They were screaming chimpanzees that wanted something from me, and I didn't know how to deliver the thing that they wanted.
Well, I think the existential question is, how many 5 milligram cannabis gummies would you need to actually be a zombie? I don't think you've actually reached full zombie status yet.
I get there when I do three. I get close. Like, there's moments where I'm just like, I just stare into the distance, vacant, completely void, for like an hour. And when... so do you, and neither of us notice the time passing.
Well, we're lost in our heads. Oh man, we might be not moving, but my brain anyways is going a mile an hour. But how many gummies would you need to eat before you would want to eat brains, I think, is like the full zombie.
Yeah. Know. I mean, I haven't really gotten to the point where I get the munchies, and then maybe that's just like not a thing with edibles. I don't know. I've tried smoking before, and it doesn't do anything for me, which is weird. I don't, there's a lot of things that super don't work weird on me, which was why I was so happy that weed gummies did something to me, because I almost have like a bottomless resistance to alcohol. Like, almost, I have to drink an insane, unreasonable, irresponsible amount of alcohol just to get buzzed.
It's a little disturbing. It makes you think you're part cyborg. But I have a question for you, Dan.
Yeah.
What movie or book are we talking about today? Unless we could talk about ourselves all day.
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about myself all day.
I would listen.
But today we're talking about Shaun of the Dead. And Leah, I want to set a scene for you. I want you to put yourself in the world of Shaun of the Dead.
Okay, I'm closing my eyes.
Your boyfriend he's having difficulty growing up. Mm. And this is upsetting to you. You go to the same place every night, the Winchester. And the Winchester is a lovely place, but you don't want to go there every night of your life. And it seems like he's incapable of making decisions on his own, and he'll just keep repeating the same cycles over and over again. And a lot of it has to do with his unhealthy relationship with his best friend, Ed.
Oh, no.
Ugh. Who comes on all of your dates.
Comes?
Well, he might. But what I mean is, he is present for your dates. Okay. Because they're like, he's like, oh, I'm going to take Liz to the Winchester. And he's like, all right, I'm going too. Because, you know, we can't tell him to not go. But I want you to also imagine that at the state of your relationship, mm-hmm. you need to give him an ultimatum.
Okay.
And you say, I need you to want to live your life, and I need you to want to do it. You need to make a plan. We need to do something for our anniversary.
Okay. Yeah.
Which has already passed, but we only went to the Winchester. We need to do something nice. And he says, we'll go to that place with all the fish. In this universe, you eat fish.
Okay. I'll take it.
So the day passes, and you call your boyfriend and you say, so what's the plan for tonight? Did you get a table? And he says, there seems to be a problem with the table.
Oh, God. Right.
And you ask him, you didn't call to get the table, did you? And he says, no. What do you do, Leah?
Dump his ass.
You dump him.
Dump
right?
his ass. Yes.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. But you dump him, and the world goes to hell, and it is a zombie apocalypse. Z word apocalypse.
That's the darn Z word, yes.
Zombies are outside of your house. You're in your flat with your two roommates, and your boyfriend comes back and tells you that he has a plan. He's taking control of the situation, and he wants to make sure that you survive. Do you know what the plan is? Can you guess
the plan
at this point what his plan might be?
To go to the Winchester.
Is this a good idea?
Stupid idea. No, stay where you are.
Why do you think?
For God's sake, it's a main floor pub with big windows. Don't go there.
Yeah, it's got big windows. I mean, everything else is good, like heavy doors. It's stone. It's heavy. It has food and alcohol. So, you know, you can have a pint and let everything blow over. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot to it. It's got big holes for zombies to come through. Hmm. Glass is not a good defense against zombies.
I'm thinking about it. Like, why did she go with him in the first place?
I
would not trust him. Like, given how absolutely incompetent he shows himself to be as an adult, like he is holding down a job barely.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Well, he's the senior or oldest member.
They remind him very quickly. He's just been there a long time. He's not actually have a promotion or any supervisory responsibilities. But yeah, I think he had definitely not proven himself to be someone worthy of following. But maybe that hope, right? That hope was still there. And it really did it took a zombie apocalypse for those two to get back together.
It did. Could they have gotten back together without a zombie apocalypse?
No, because Sean was a zombie before the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's an astute observation. So Shaun of the Dead, basically the premise to Shaun of the Dead is that we are all zombies shuffling through life, especially Sean. Sean is the king zombie. And the only difference that happens between the rise of the living dead is that the people who were zombies and didn't change and better themselves became walking dead zombies.
Mm.
And Sean either needs to grow up and become more responsible for his life, or he will also become a zombie.
And thus we need a zombie apocalypse for just Sean.
Yeah, we need to teach Sean a
complete
lesson.
Carnage and kill horrifying everyone. Trauma for everybody else so that Sean can grow as a person.
So what do you remember about this movie? We watched it 2 days ago at this point.
Well, I remember all of that because we just talked about it. See, yes. The way that my brain works, let me just take a minute to explain this because it's, I think, important for this book club, movie club thing. I don't remember books or movies after I consume them unless they're really, really, really good. And I watch them multiple times, which almost never happens. As soon as I'm done a movie, like 2 or 3 days later, I'm like, wait, what happened? What was the end? So
Do you remember the end?
Barely, but I'll be honest, I might have been looking at my phone a little bit and gotten distracted, and you had to recap for me what happened.
Yeah.
So this is very common for us. That's why we're a great pair.
That's how we do things.
I'm also really bad at any kind of movie reference. I'm not good at that, but maybe I'll get better. You know what? That's a goal I have for this book club is to
give me some inside references. Give me some references from this movie, like some of the
movie.
Yeah, the recurring humor. Give me some one-liners that you remember with your brain.
There's just going to be a really big gap of silence. I don't think of any single one. But okay, so what do I remember? I do remember thinking a lot about the fact that Sean was not really a great boyfriend. And I remember his best friend, Ed, being a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, that really stood out a lot to me this time watching it through. I can't remember the last time I watched this movie.
He was endearing the first time, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But like, I don't know. Maybe that's the one part of this that like doesn't hold up so much. It's just that like Ed fucking sucks. He's homophobic. He's racist. He's dragging his friends down. He has no intention of bettering himself in any way.
He's a user.
Yeah.
A leech off of his roommates.
Yeah, he's a leech. And he's stupid. And also, like, his jokes make Sean laugh, but they're not really that funny.
No, he, like, apologizes because he farted, and then Sean laughs.
Yeah, I mean, I get the impression that this is an inside joke.
Hey, look, that's a reference.
That's a reference.
That's not the kind of thing that I would do to you. I can't use that.
You wouldn't be like, I'm sorry, Dan. And then I'm like, you don't have to be sorry. And then you're like, no, I'm sorry, Dan. I mean, actually, I think that would be really funny, but.
But you can't
only
smell,
because it was so unfunny in this movie.
Yeah, very true. How did it end? I know everybody died. Okay, so the things that I know, not everybody. So of course, Sean and Liz, his back to being his girlfriend now, survived.
Yeah.
But basically everybody dies and Ed is a zombie. So his mom dies, his stepdad, who he is portrayed as kind of a jerk, but then at the end redeems himself, becomes a zombie. Actually, we don't know if he's dead. He could still be in the car.
Yeah, he's in the car, but he's definitely a dead zombie.
Yeah,
He bled out. He's bit in the neck.
See, I don't remember that.
And he bled out and died, but he was already infected. So,
but he's a zombie. So he's dead, but I don't really think of zombies as totally dead.
Well, so in the end of the movie, so Liz and Sean, they discover that the basement has an elevator to the street level. Ed is bitten. He stays behind. They go up and as they're ready to face their fate with all the zombies outside of the Winchester, the army shows up and shoots all the zombies.
Oh, that's the part that I missed when I was looking at my phone.
This is a segment. Things Leah missed when she was looking at her phone.
It's a problem.
It's a problem. It is a problem. Leah's looking at her phone.
It's true.
Yeah. So the army comes, led by Yvonne, Sean's friend, who they were only just friends and never dated. She comes because she had a better plan than Sean. She criticized Sean for going to the Winchester. She's like, mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to the Winchester, the pub. Good luck. And then she left.
She literally was like, I am not tying my future to you, and I'm not even going to invite you to participate in my better plan because I know you're going to fuck it up. So just good luck at the Winchester.
You know, I think that says a lot about their relationship, actually, because the question is, like, why is there romantic tension between the two characters? Why didn't they ever date? And this says it exactly. She would have loved to date Sean. They would have gotten along great, but she knows that he is heading towards disaster and didn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah. She's the wise, smart one. We don't get enough of Yvonne.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Dan, what are some things that I probably missed in Shaun of the Dead that people like you who don't look at their phones would have noticed? Or just people like you who are zombie movie aficionados?
I'm also a regular movie aficionado, but especially zombie movies. I always pry for like the deeper meanings of things and the hidden gems and stuff. This movie, almost every line, every song, every scene is an homage to a previous zombie film.
It's incredible.
There's multiple references to Night of the Living Dead, like the rifle over the top of the Winchester. It's a Winchester Model 66. Which is the rifle that was used in both the 1968 and 1990 versions of Night of the Living Dead.
I would never have noticed that. But I don't think I've even seen Night of the Living Dead. So,
We need to see that because that one's the one that made zombies a cultural namesake.
Having said that, maybe I did see it and I've forgotten.
It's black and white.
Oh no, I don't watch old movies. Oh no, that's going to be a bad one for me. My attention span is going to be challenged.
Let's not get too deep into Night of the Living Dead, but Night of the Living Dead was made in 1968 by George Romero, the grandfather of zombies. And
I think the Haitians are the grandfathers of zombies, but anyhow.
Yes, but this is the grandfather of the modern zombie, I should say.
Okay, of the like television culture. Zombie, the movie zombie.
Yeah, as like mindless living dead corpses that infect other mindless living dead corpses. And it was all a metaphor for racism.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to save that. We definitely need to talk about this now.
I mean, 1968, this movie broke cultural milestones by having a black male lead character and a female character lead.
Wow.
And also criticized racism. So
wow. How many dimensions was the woman?
Two at least. It was very incredible for its time.
1968. I'm not even two. Wow. Okay.
But also, speaking of Night of the Living Dead, there's a song that plays in Shaun of the Dead while he's riding the bus by Kerncraft 400 called Zombie Nation. It's the one you probably hear it like as a stadium jam for like soccer events. And it's the one that's like, da-na-na-na-na. It samples a song that's in The Night of the Living Dead, and that's why it's called Zombie Nation.
And that's a great song.
And they use that in Shaun of the Dead because of its relationship to Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, see, these are so many layers that I think if I had the capacity to pay attention, I would appreciate. So I'm grateful to hear them. At least briefly.
I mean, in preparing for this podcast, I wrote multiple pages of references and callbacks and information, like behind the scenes info about this movie. And if people just wanted to hear me drone on and on about every single reference, like this could be a 2.5 hour long podcast.
Please don't.
Just me being like, and then this other time when Ed said this to Barbara, that was a reference to Night of the Living Dead. And also there was another Night of the Living Dead reference when so-and-so did this other thing. And then when he was on the bus, the music, oh, it's the Night of the Living Dead. And I that mean, could be, well, actually, this is actually our second recording of this podcast. And that's basically what the first version was, except imagine I was high.
Yes. It was a terrible idea. It was my idea to eat the gummy.
Yeah, but we also, were like, hey, we just won't eat an indica gummy. We'll eat a sativa gummy and that'll make us smarter.
Yeah, because we were tired. It was late. It was a good logic at the time.
It made sense.
But what it did is, I mean, honestly, this is things that you do to me on a regular basis where like out of nowhere, you'll just come and stand in front of me and like narrate an entire movie for me from start to finish in great detail. Before I'd be like, have you seen this? No, I'm going to tell you everything.
I'll tell you everything about it before you ever see it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, a lot of the things that I get obsessed about, you will never watch on your own and don't have any interest in watching. Like,
true. Thanks for still loving me. Like, I know we're different.
Like, if I was like, Leah, did you know all the difference between the 1968 version and the 1990 version of Night of the Living Dead? Well, first off, the director of Night of the Living Dead in 1990 was the special effects makeup artist in 1968. Did you know that?
I did not. But that's actually a cool fact. Cool fact, right there.
I
think it
is. I actually, this is like 20-year-old trivia knowledge, and I don't know if it's true.
Future episode, I think, should be like what the two, both of them comparing. Yeah. But back to Shaun of the Dead. Anything
else
we're
talking about?
Yes. Yeah. This is Dan sober, just for people to be aware. Also me, very sober, unless you count. Well, I guess not, because I'm drinking caffeine.
Yeah. I'm drinking water.
How nutritious.
From a collapsible thermos that if you squeeze it too hard, it will shoot water all over your face.
Hot. I just made Dan choke on the water. Also hot.
Anyway, hold up, Leah.
I don't know. Does it hold up? I think overall, like, I actually think I enjoyed the movie more in the first half than the second half. I got distracted in the second half. And I'm not really sure why. I'd have to, like, it's probably something psychological on my side. But overall, as far as older movies go, this was made in 2004. It was pretty good to me. My question is, like, do you have to have the cultural cringe moments? Like, obviously things, I mean, racism has always existed, not always, racism, sexism, homophobia, which is a lot of what Ed does, to determine that he is indeed an asshole. That's like how they let us know, is him being, saying terrible things.
Yeah, he's an edgelord. He was an edgelord before it was cool to be an edgelord, or maybe right when it was cool to be an edgelord. So an edgelord is like a person on the internet who says offensive shit that they know is wrong to say, not because they believe it, but because they think it will upset you.
Wow, what a great human being those people are. Yeah. That's really lovely.
Yeah. Actually, recently watched Bo Burnham, and he talks about like how he basically used to be an edgelord when he was young and getting into comedy, and now he regrets it.
I'm glad he regrets it. That's a regrettable decision, but I get it being, I mean, I think being white unfortunately means that we're kind of idiots about a lot of things until we're informed about how stupid we are. So sorry to the white people listening. If you don't know that. Yeah.
We've offended our base.
We're not going to have any other listeners because I called white people stupid.
Yeah.
It's ignorance.
They're turning on us, Leah. We're getting canceled.
There's going to be a horde of white people.
And they're going to come clawing at our doors and demanding our brains.
Oh no, because they don't have any. Woo.
So I want to, since we're talking about racism, I want to shift this slightly to a point where Sean is looking out through the mail hole of their front door, looking for zombies. And Ed, who's standing on the stairs eating ice cream, asks Sean, are there any zombies out there? And offended, Sean turns around. He's like, don't say that. Don't say that word. He's like, what? He's like, the Z word.
The Z word.
And he's like, what? They are. Are there any, though? And he looks out. He's like, no, it looks pretty clear. And then he looks slightly to the right. And he's like, oh, no, they're there.
They're definitely there.
Yeah. So the Z word is kind of like, nobody wants to say the Z word. They don't want to say it.
Too offensive.
They say it's ridiculous. But there is a point where Ed shows up with a car, comes skidding up to it, jumps out, and then says what's up, and then calls everybody the N-word. So we had an interesting revelation when we were high, which is, in the world of Shaun of the Dead, is the Z word more offensive than the Ed word? The Ed word.
All of Ed. Ed is offensive.
Ed's words. That he says. But yeah, it's interesting to think that that zombie might be more offensive because Sean stops.
Yeah,
Sean stops Ed from saying the Z word because it's ridiculous. But he doesn't say anything about him for using the N word.
No, or for making like super racist jokes, for making sexist jokes, for making homophobic comments, doesn't care. But the zombie, can't say zombies.
Bridge too far.
Yep.
Don't say the Z word, Leah.
I just appreciate that it's the Z word. I know I'm not going to get that a lot because most of the stuff's American. So
it's true. A lot of it is American. But I think Shaun of the Dead is at such a level that its cultural importance as a zombie movie makes the Z word an acceptable thing to live on in our vocabulary forever.
I love it. That's these all of my own callbacks, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So
as far as it standing up, does it pass the test of time minus the casual racism, misogyny, and Z words?
If you could update a version of Ed where it's clear that he's still problematic without actually being offensive and harmful to anybody who's not a white man watching it, yes, it stands up the test of time. It's got a really great plot. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Keeps me going. I mean, the women, the female characters, we'll talk about that in a little bit, are problematic, but it's still entertaining.
Yeah. I had an interesting question that I came up with that I think applies to this, which is, if there were no zombies in the movie, would it still be a good movie? And personally, I think the answer to that is yes. I think it would be a romantic comedy between a man and his best friend.
Yes, because at the end of the day, they're still together and he goes and plays with Ed,
yeah,
who is a zombie.
Shed, he plays video games
who still
with him.
It is not really a compliment to video game players because as a zombie, he's still playing video games. He has that capacity,
he didn't,
but he doesn't
didn't
have
grow.
The Cuth to like know he shouldn't try and eat his friend when he sits down beside him.
Well, he's working on it. But that's the theme of the movie. It's really brilliant in how they bring those back, because they could have just ended it at the end, and that might have been a more satisfying ending for them to just be like, and then the army comes, and then you can just imagine that the zombie apocalypse continues, but then they go on the road or whatever narrative you want to push. But they instead show some news reports where they are re-entering zombies back into the workforce by having work in shopping malls and grocery stores, pushing carts and stuff.
That was incredible. Yeah, they're productive members of society. Like I said, they're still kind of alive.
And the thing is, like, the idea is, if it's just like in writing, like stagnation equals death. Mm. And in this story, if you don't grow as a character, or already enter the story as a good character, then you will die. So that's why Liz came in as a fully functioning character. She didn't need any growth.
That is not true. But
it's not true, but it's what what they believed when they wrote it.
Well, so, I think that Liz just served a function. She didn't need to be an evolving character for the the plot to continue, unfortunately.
But everybody else, like David and Diane, they died because they were just their archetypical selves. Diane didn't die. I'll get into that later. Or should I get into it now? So zombies ripped apart David. Leah covered her eyes. She didn't
see. Did I? That's what
they
I don't
ripped
remember.
Him to pieces.
Mm. Oh, right. Because was he the one that is her, she was using his leg as a weapon?
Right. So she still has his leg. She kicks open the doors and runs through the zombie crowd in a rage, using his leg as a weapon. And
genius.
In the script, they show that she climbed a tree in the park and then survived for days by eating David's leg.
Oh my God. I didn't know. Wait, they didn't show that in the movie, right?
No, it wasn't like in the movie. Didn't make it? She did survive.
It's
canon that she survived.
Wow.
So Ed didn't grow as a character. So he became a zombie in the end.
Well, that's not, I think I like your hypothesis here, but I don't think it's 100% true, because the stepdad character does grow just enough for us to give a shit when he dies, right? Well, like, that's like, another, I did always love you, Sean.
Yeah.
But then he becomes a zombie.
But that's also a writing trope. His father was the mentor, and your mentor has to die for you to learn your lessons. So he died teaching Sean a final lesson, which is, I didn't hate you your whole life. You hated me. And I was just trying to be a good father for you and trying to push you to succeed. But I actually loved you the whole time.
You could have said it before you were about to become a zombie.
Yeah. He was the catalyst for Sean becoming a hero. It was that moment that pushed Sean to be a better person. Because he realized that he's just been a fool his whole life and pushing his stepfather away because he didn't like him. And he assumed that his stepfather also didn't like him.
Yeah. You know, complicated family dynamics of
yeah. When he's trying to convince his mother to leave Philip because he thinks that he's going to turn into a zombie, there is a moment that is really funny, worth mentioning, that he's like, did you know that Philip, when I was a boy, touched me? And then a long silence, and she's like, Sean, and he's like, that's, you're right, that was a lie, I made that up.
He was trying to like find a way to kill his stepdad without upsetting his mother, which I don't really know how that was the, like, instead of just being like, he's gonna become a zombie, like, because mom's character is very much like just out of touch with reality, so he couldn't just like acknowledge that he was going to become a zombie. He had to make his, it's a very strange choice.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Dan.
Okay.
If there was a zombie survival tip that comes out of this movie, what would it be? What would you take away if you were in a zombie apocalypse from this movie? Yeah.
First of all, this movie should be used as an instructional field guide for everything you should not do.
I wonder if they use it in that Missouri camp. They should.
the Missouri survival, zombie survival camp.
Yeah.
I really hope that there was a movie time.
Yeah, zombie movie night every night. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I mean, there were kids there. And I wouldn't classify Shaun of the Dead as a kid movie, though. But very few zombie movies are, though. So maybe. But I think that one thing that they got right is they used the weapons that they had. You know, Shaun gets a cricket bat, Ed gets a shovel, and they're effective with that because those are things that they know how to use. So use the weapon. The best weapon in an apocalypse is the one you know how to use. Like, don't learn new skills. Don't pick that time to be like, I'm going to learn how to use a katana.
Know what that is. A sword?
Yeah, it's a sword. It's like the sword that Michonne uses.
Oh, okay.
A Japanese sword.
Got it.
I mean, sure, most people could be, fine if they used a sword because, it's a sharp thing that you swing around. But there is nuance and skill to how to use a katana effectively. And that's things that you don't want to learn when you're facing down a horde of zombies. So like, they had a cricket bat. He knows how to use a cricket bat because he's British, and that's the stereotype.
they played themselves into. It's
British. Yeah. And I don't know if Ed knows how to use a shovel, but he seems to be pretty effective with it.
Well, maybe that's a slight edit to your tip, which I'd be like, one that you know how to use and have on hand, because there's weapons that you know how to use being a veteran that you would not have on hand, but probably would be super helpful in an apocalypse if you had them.
Yeah, like, for example, I do not have a Browning 50 caliber machine gun, but it would be very effective against zombies.
But what, it's so loud, they would just keep coming.
Yeah, but it's belt fed, so you just mow them down. Just keep mowing them down.
This makes me doubt every single zombie movie I've ever seen, because how is it that they didn't just shoot them all down with a machine gun, like from a high point, and like just had them keep coming, feeding the machine gun? You'd be done.
This is actually something that I like about the UK as the setting for the zombie apocalypse, because in the UK, firearms are very difficult to own for the average person.
Yeah, they have to go to the Winchester to even get one.
That's right. You have to go to the Winchester. Everybody goes to the Winchester and they all use the same gun. Five people to one gun. That's how they do it. But as far as stories go, it makes it a lot more interesting because you're limited to handheld weapons.
And yeah, guns are kind of a cop out.
Yeah, and these zombies were so slow. And they proved this at the very end when the army shows up, and in like 3.5 seconds, every soldier with a fully automatic rifle blows away every zombie in the area. And then they jump back in their truck and they leave.
Yeah. Cause those zombies are like, how many miles a minute would a zombie go in Shaun of the Dead?
Not one mile a minute.
How many miles in an hour? That'd be
60 miles an hour.
How many miles an hour?
Zombie.
Okay, the average person walks, an average walking person walks about 3 miles in an hour.
Oh.
I think.
Is that true?
I read it somewhere.
I don't think I walk that fast.
I'll Google it to confirm. No, you don't. I'm talking about the average person. Dan is a zombie walker.
These zombies were definitely less than 1 mile an hour. In fact, the script of Shaun of the Dead had a scene where Shaun would walk ahead of the zombies when he's like kiting them away. And he would have to stop several times for the zombies to catch up to him so that they would keep following him. And then he ducked off into an alleyway and hid in the dumpsters, and they all passed him. So the movie references how ridiculously slow these zombies are. It's really actually hard to believe that they would be able to infect anyone because they're so slow.
This is the only reason why this is one of the few zombie movies where they're able to like take control and have society back and then put the zombies to work.
Yeah, because the zombies are so unthreatening. But yeah, the same type of zombie scenario in the US first of all, it would make every super right-wing Republican like a superhero, basically, because they'd be like, finally, I have a whole bunch of basically non-moving human targets that I can shoot at.
Yeah, it's the ultimate American gun owner fantasy, yeah, to have, like, to be a hero, first of all, and then to be able to use all of their firepower and be like, see, I told you I needed this.
Yeah. If told so, you. This is going to be very telling to the individual as a zombie fan. I'm going to make a statement that may offend you. If you like movies with slow zombies, that's because you have a hero complex and you like the idea of being powerful over walking corpses, but also still looking like a hero that saves the day.
I feel like that's maybe for men and some women, but I think for me, I like slow zombies because I might actually survive and want to still like be like, you know what, this is survivable. I might not die here because I don't want to run. I don't want to run.
Yeah, I don't want to run either.
No, it's sheer laziness, actually, that I'd really prefer.
You can't starve us up.
Deal with zombies a slow run. Yeah, good God. Really, if I had to run, as we discussed last time, I would die. So,
yeah,
pro slow zombie.
Of these zombies, I would categorize as the classic Romero zombies. They're a little bit slower than Romero zombies. Like, the original Night of the Living Dead had some really, really slow zombies, but these ones were like, they were on a whole different level of slowness. Like, there's a scene in the garden.
With
Ed and Sean, where where they come out with a basket of stuff to throw at them, throw all their stuff.
There's then, their records.
They throw their records. Then they kick in the door to the shed, find weapons, come out as heroes with their weapons, and then bang their weapons together, then go and walk up to the zombies and hit them.
Well, they had time to decide which one they were going to take.
Yeah.
And this backyard is like maybe 20 feet deep.
Yeah. They, like, these zombies basically didn't move. They just kind of like shuffled from left to right.
They're doing a little zombie dance.
Slightly. Yeah. They didn't move forward at all.
No, they just groaned a lot. But what was realistic, we don't know if slow or fast zombies are realistic because we have not yet had a zombie apocalypse or not pandemic yet. Not yet. It's coming. That's why we're doing this for all of you here listening. Prepare yourselves. But this
podcast is to be used as a tutorial for the zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. I mean, we have our zombie survival tip. Use the best weapon is the one that you know. But anyhow, what I think is realistic is that, I know this bothers you a lot when it's not the case, they are maybe slow, but they're really hard to kill.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to kill.
Realistic to kill. Like, human beings are more resilient than movies tend to give them credit for. Like, The Walking Dead is really bad about this. Like, for some reason, they've decided that once zombies got to a certain state of decomposition, like, their bones basically become styrofoam.
Ooh.
Like, you can stab a zombie in the face with a pocket knife. You can push a zombie into, like, a bit of metal that's, like, hanging out next to something, and they'll, like, back up into it and, like, completely perforate themselves and die.
You can stick your foot out so they can trip over it, fall and die. Hit their head on a curb.
You can punch them through the chest and your arm will go into their rib cage, and then you can snake it up through their throat.
Ew. Then
jab your fingers up through their palate into their brain and kill them that way.
Thanks for that visual.
But in this movie, at least the first two zombies that they encounter, like, they hit the zombie. The zombies go down immediately. But they have to continue hitting them over and over again until Ed starts screaming, crying. And blood spraying everywhere.
Yeah, he's got red on him, right?
He gets red on him.
Oh, that's another callback. Look at me.
Callback.
Look at me. I did it from when he had his pen, his red pen that spilled and he's working.
And I appreciate this because, like, I've seen so many ridiculous things. Like, I read a book and otherwise, it was a good book, but it starts off with the main character, and she is an office worker, and she encounters her first zombie coming out of the bathroom of her office building. And while wrestling with the zombie, she uses a wet floor sign to bash the zombie's head in.
I mean, they're hard plastic.
That's they are, but they're not going to crack the skull.
Mm.
Like I think it would have been a lot better if she just did, if she just fought it that way and like hit the zombie and like, you know, knocked it back into the bathroom, closed the door and ran away, because that's more realistic. Mm. But like, even if I had a wet floor sign, I'm not killing anyone with a wet floor sign, no matter how hard I hit them with it. And I can hit people really
hard. Yeah, you have a lot of force. I definitely am out of luck. I think like in this world, I could evade the zombies. I would have a hard time killing them because I don't have a weapon I know how to use. I was looking around the house and being like, the knife, a cutting knife, a sure. computer, my keyboard.
Yeah, use a computer.
I don't look. These are tools I know how to use.
Hack the zombie.
Oh, a gardening implement. That hoe that I have that's got the three prongs on the one side would be
good. It's a hoe on one side, a very sharp hoe at that.
Yeah.
And then a three
prong like our hose sharp
pitchfork kind of thing on the other side. That would be really good. Cause also it's lightweight enough that like, cause the shaft is made of fiberglass. Like it's not going to be hard to swing. You're going to get some like good velocity out of it, but it also has good leverage.
I'm getting really motivated just this today to like go work out so that I'm prepared.
Yeah.
So I can be healthy now.
Let's get in zombie then. Shape.
Yeah. Like that's one of the zombie skills you need to have. So yeah. Healthy now and then.
What speed do you prefer? You already said slow zombies, right?
Yeah. And I think you let it out of the bag that you like fast ones.
I do and I don't. Like I also recognize that like I'm not going to be able to outrun the fast zombies. Like my only chance is to stand my ground. And that gets everybody killed in every zombie movie. Like I am the sacrificial lamb that's like, you go ahead, I'll fight them. And I hold them off for like a minute.
Zombie survival tip. Let somebody else do that.
Don't be a hero.
Don't be a hero. No. Be selfish. A lot of zombie movies actually that's kind of the moral of the story.
But I think there's like I gotta know my limits. And if I get to the point where like I'm not operating a vehicle and I don't have the weaponry to take out a zombie horde, and we have to get away, like I'm probably going to drag everybody down because I just can't move at the same speed as everybody else. If we're talking fast zombies.
I think that's the case for both of us. So can I just make a request that if we're in a world where there are fast zombies and we have no way of getting away, do not sacrifice yourself for me because I'm going to get exactly 3 feet further than wherever you were before I am eaten.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's hide.
Let's just become zombies together.
Well, I think we could hide. Hiding is an option.
Okay. You're much more, I thought you were the nihilist
relationship. And then I'll be like, you guys go ahead. We'll take care of the zombies. And they're like, you'll never survive. And it's like, I'll buy you time. And then we go hide.
That is so bad. Don't be a hero. That works.
I think that was in Zombieland. Wasn't that one of the rules? Don't be a hero. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Right at the end when he has to be the hero and save the girl. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right at the end, the rule pops up in the way that they do in that movie. And it says, don't be a hero. And then don't falls off. And he says, sometimes you have to be a hero.
Oh, deep, very deep thoughts.
You have to be the hero. So we're not going to be the hero. We're going to tell people that we'll save them and then don't. And we'll hide instead. And
well, let I have a,
them be eaten.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Could you do better? Like in the Shaun of the Dead, okay? I know you could do better in a lot of other contexts,
yeah.
I think, maybe. But could you do better than Shaun in Shaun of the Dead? If you were the main character, if you were Shaun, could you do better?
I think that Shaun of the Dead as a zombie movie is brilliant in the sense that everyone who watches it could do better than Shaun. He does okay,
everybody.
But it's like the bare minimum. And it makes you think, I could do that. I could get my friends together and with a cricket bat and save my mom. I would just do a few things differently and I would have won at zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, you would have won the zombie apocalypse game. You know what's interesting is a lot of the competent men in that movie are demonized, like the stepdad, competent guy.
Yeah.
Sounds at first they make you not want to like him. Their roommate, who actually like wants Ed to pay rent or clean sometimes.
Ed calls him a prick.
Yeah, he's terrible. He gets killed pretty much, or he becomes a zombie pretty quickly.
Yeah, he was bitten before the outbreak.
David, like, what's David's crime? Being an adult and being in love with his girlfriend. Well, I mean, that's true.
Yeah, David is also a coward. Like,
but is he? Or is he practical? Oh,
very much. No, he's very much a coward. He tried to shoot Sean in the face.
I mean, that's fair.
He pulled the trigger. It went click. It was empty.
But maybe he thought by shooting Sean, he was going to save everybody else, which I don't think is that far of a
logical leap. Like, I think he definitely thought he was smarter than Sean, and he thought that he should have been the one in charge, but he didn't have what it takes to be in charge.
He didn't have what it took to be Liz's boyfriend.
Yeah, he didn't. He definitely didn't. No. And he settled for Diane.
He saved Diane's life with his leg so she could eat.
I don't know if that's saving Diane's life.
Would you eat that, Dan? Would you eat?
I would argue that he put Diane in danger first by breaking the glass window to the Winchester. Mm. And then second, by getting dragged through that same window by zombies and being ripped to pieces.
Okay, so yeah, but
he was going to leave. He unbarricaded the door. He was going to leave. He opened the doors and they had to talk him out of it.
Okay. I'm not saying I like David, but I would have done what David wanted to do in this context. Like, in terms of how I could do it better, I would have stayed at their apartment or like his mom's house. I would not have gone to the Winchester. That was a really dumb idea. Like, everybody died pretty much trying to get to the Winchester or at the Winchester.
Yeah. Leaving fortifications especially during the night of the Living Dead. That's a really dangerous proposition, and that is something that I wouldn't have done. But I do agree that Sean's house wasn't secure enough. And I don't know about the security of the apartment. I want to believe that it was secure, but also Sean argued that he really felt like the zombies outside were going to break through the doors and come in and tear them all to pieces, like David got torn to pieces. And he insisted that would exacerbate things for everyone. And I don't know if that's true, but in this world, in this zombie universe, those zombies that broke into the Winchester somehow figured out that they went into the basement and then they punched the floor.
That's right.
Until they broke through. So I don't know if hiding inside of an apartment would actually work.
Yeah, but they'd already attracted the zombies. If the zombies don't know where you, like, honestly, I understand why they left their house, like why Sean and Ed left. And that was very heroic. Again, don't be a hero. But, you know, they wanted to save the mom. They wanted to save the ex-girlfriend. Whatever. I get that part. But if they'd never left their apartment, they probably would have been fine. If they never left any of those places that they stopped along the way, they would have been fine. But the zombies were attracted to that place. They knew they had gone down into the basement.
Yeah.
And yes, they did defy the laws of physics to get there.
Yeah.
But they knew they were there.
Getting the rifle was a good idea, but none of them knew how to use the rifle. That should have been addressed earlier. And that's, I think, these are the places where I definitely would have done better, even if I made all the same decisions. I wouldn't have missed all the shots that Sean misses because he doesn't know how to fire a rifle. I would have been much faster at reloading because I know how to reload a lever action rifle.
Yeah, all of those things.
Also, I never would have let my cricket bat leave my side. They left him in the car with Philip. And
yeah, that was dumb.
Even though zombies were coming and Philip was inside the car with all of their weapons, that would have been a huge priority to recover those weapons, even if I'd been stupid enough to leave it inside. So I would have just opened the door and guided Philip out and then just shoved him. I would have just shoved him and he would have fell over. And then we'd all be like, now let's get our weapons out of the car, guys.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity. It was like, okay, so you have tons of time to get these two zombies in the backyard because they're barely moving, but you can't get your dad out of the car to keep the car and your weapons.
Yeah, he'll come out on his own. You don't have to do anything. He'll come right out the door.
I have a question for you that's not related to our podcast, but maybe because I could hear it. Is Nero with you, our dog, drinking water?
He's drinking water. Hey, okay, Nero.
That's what that sound was.
Hey, buddy.
Our dog is the loudest water drinker. He absolutely would be our downfall in a zombie apocalypse.
Come over here, buddy. We're talking about zombies.
He loves that. He would eat them, but he'd get eaten soon.
Also, I've never used a cricket bat before, but I have used a baseball bat. And while I wasn't great at baseball, I'd say with my size and my current strength and everything, I would absolutely destroy zombies in my path if I had a weapon like
that. A baseball bat, for sure. I would not. I couldn't even play t-ball. Like, I couldn't get the ball off of the tee. So, yeah.
So my plan would be, like, I would go to the Winchester because they have the rifle there. I wouldn't use the rifle right away. I'd save that for later because there's a limited amount of ammunition.
Mm.
But I would have it with me. For the first thing we would do is we would not be in the bar, in the open area of the bar. The lights would stay off.
Seems reasonable.
And I would go into the basement immediately. Mm-hmm. Where all of the supplies are, by the way, and has
all the pig niblets.
The pig niblets are down there. Kegs of beer, I assume, alcohol. I would go down there, bring everybody with me. That is the most secure place to be. It has two ways to exit. The only other way is maybe the apartment upstairs, above, which has zombies in it. We find out the owners are zombies.
I totally didn't notice that either.
Yeah, it's the zombie that they beat rhythmically to Queen.
Oh, yeah.
2.5 minutes without causing any brain damage to it at all with the pool cue.
That was an amazing and very funny scene. Yeah. Those are the reasons why I think it's worth watching again in 2022.
Oh, and also pool cues. You have pool cues break off the tips so that you have a sharpened end. These are now spears.
Mm.
Barricade all of the doors and windows. Without making any noise, of course, you know, because, you know, they're not going to come in if they don't see anything that they want inside. And if you're down in the basement, they won't see you or hear you. But also, if you preemptively barricade, none of them will accidentally come in. And if you need to go upstairs, it'll be perfectly clear. Get more weapons by making pool cues into spears. And then when we're downstairs and everybody is out of harm's way, that's when we debrief and we ask everybody what their ideas are and what they think should be done so that they feel like they're contributing to their survival in a meaningful way and don't get upset like David did.
David, you are
smart. Do you have any good ideas right now?
I would facilitate the heck out of that debrief.
Yeah, I would let you job, do that because my day that's job. What you're good at.
I let everybody gather in a circle and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Center ourselves.
A little bit like Diane when she gave everybody the acting instructions.
Yeah. I'm probably closest to Diane, I think. Let's or maybe Yvonne.
Let's limber up.
Now we can talk about it. Now that we're calm and centered.
Yeah.
I have unfortunate news.
Oh.
I really need to pee because I drank most of this coffee and we both know that I don't have
ad break.
Ad break, yes. So I will be back in 30 seconds. Dan, I don't know what you're going to do with that, but I'll be back.
I'll be very quiet so that the waveform in the file looks like nothing happened and I'll know to edit this out.
I'm back.
You're back.
I had an important revelation while I was peeing, which is another reason why I think I would prefer a slow zombie is when would you have time to pee with fast zombies? Or stay hydrated or eat or do anything. I gotta pee a lot. So,
well, they did have some of the things in mind for their survival. Like there would be beer on tap at the Winchester. So they would be able to drink. Ed would be able to smoke. That was a very important thing for.
Yeah, they smoked so much. That doesn't stand the test of time either. My God.
Yeah. Well, part of it was that Sean was quitting smoking. Liz was also quitting smoking and then gave up quitting at the end.
I feel like that's very 2004. Cause like, could you even like, could they smoke at the Winchester in 2004?
They were.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Things that are, I mean, actually, I don't know if you can things to Google later. Can you smoke at a UK bar still to this day? I'm going to assume that that's no longer a thing.
Yeah. Maybe not bars, but definitely pubs.
Oh, big difference.
Huge difference.
Oh,
yeah, thanks. I mean, you got to take those things into consideration because, like, I think especially men overlook this because they can pee anywhere at any time. But I know for a fact that we would have to stop at least once an hour.
Correct. For me.
And also, you would panic if you didn't have water.
Oh, my God. It is a non-negotiable. Like, I have to have water. Even if I go for a 30-minute walk, it's like, do I bring my water bottle? I get really nervous if I don't have water.
Always yes. Always yes. Water.
It's important. I'm a Pisces.
We have so many water bottles.
I slowly lose them all the time. Okay. I only have one more thing I want to talk about before we finish today. I don't know about you, though.
Yeah, I want to talk about what you want to talk about for sure.
Misogyny?
I love misogyny.
It's our favorite topic.
It's basically all I do.
Mm.
It's my life.
I mean, you're recovering as all men.
That's true. There's a lot of things that I'm recovering from in society. Things that I grew up thinking were okay and then learned that they weren't okay. And that's why we deleted the first version of this podcast.
Yeah, there were some moments where I was like, oh, let's rethink that. But we're both learning and growing things, white people, right? So we have our things.
I tend to say things that you're not supposed to say, not because I believe them, but because I'm criticizing the people who do believe those things. But the problem is that not everybody knows that I'm joking.
Yeah.
That's something I need to stop doing.
Yeah, because I could think you're serious and then be like, oh, no.
I need to grow as a character.
Yes, evolve. This is the way that you can evolve.
Complacency is death.
Well, like my dad always says, if you're not learning, you're dying.
That is very wise. Your dad
in the zombie apocalypse, if you're not learning, you're dying for sure.
Yeah.
He says a lot of wise things for not being so wise himself. He's never going to listen to this, folks, so I can trash talk my dad.
What if he does, though?
You know what, Dad? Maybe it's time for us to have a real conversation. Because if there was a movie like Dad of the Dead, my dad is the zombie who needs serious character growth, but has endearing and redeemable characteristics. It's just that he might need a zombie apocalypse to face some of the things he needs to grow in. That's all.
Yeah. You know, that's a fair assessment of most people. And I think accepting those realities is the first step in that growth.
Yeah, maybe the question to leave with, not that we're going to be done right now, but a question for you all to ponder, for us to ponder, and we can come back to it, Dan, is like, what's the thing about ourselves we should be sort of thinking about and becoming a better person in? That like, we think we need a zombie apocalypse to actually to do. Face. Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't even know. I feel like, so one of the cornerstones, we'll talk about my writing later, but I just wanted to mention this briefly out of context. But my general synopsis of the zombie apocalypse is that whatever problems that society has going into a zombie apocalypse only becomes worse as the zombie apocalypse happens.
Very optimistic view.
Yeah, the numbers of people go down, but the things that make people hateful or problematic increase.
I don't want to believe that. I have a probably unfortunate, even though I don't like most people, I have hope for all of us to be better. I really do.
You have a generalized hope that they just won't be shitty.
Well, I think that there are lots of examples of really good people out there in the world. Like, quick callback, and then speaking of a woman that like absolutely passes the Bechdel test, which is what we want to talk about, and misogyny of the living dead in Shaun of the Dead, as whether or not they pass the Bechdel test. Before getting into what the Bechdel test, well, maybe that's what I'll say what it is. So for those of you who don't know what the Bechdel test is, it's a test to see if a movie meets the bare minimum of having these three things for women characters. Yeah. One, that there are at least two women featured in the movie.
Two, this movie passes. There's three women.
It passes, yeah. Two, that these women talk to each other.
That happens once.
And three, that they discuss something other than a man.
It kind of happens once.
Kind of happens, but not really. So we'll assess Shaun of the Dead later, but I would like to shout out to like a real female hero whose name I'm not remembering right now. And I feel bad about that because she saved a man's life in the Buffalo snowstorm just last week.
I thought she was in Rochester. It was Buffalo.
No, it was Buffalo, where 39 people at least died. And she heard this man shouting help for his life in her neighborhood and found him. I think he's mentally challenged or disabled. I'm not sure what the appropriate term is nowadays. Yeah. And he had gotten lost in the snowstorm and his hands were completely covered in ice and snow. And one of them had a bag that he'd been clutching that was like frozen to his hand. She had to save him. The 911 wouldn't come, even though she called. She called the National Guard. Nobody came. It was like more than 24 hours. She had this man in her house on Christmas, might add. And like she saved this man's life, finally put a plea out on Facebook Live, I think. And a couple of people came and plowed her out and got this man to the hospital so that his gangrenous, frostbitten hands. See, Dan, this is why you wear warm things when you exit the house. We're gonna be okay. And she, I think that's an example of like a story that could be told about a woman that definitely at least passes the Bechdel test. But Shaun of the Dead, I don't think it does.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because with all of my Viking heritage and my survivor mentality and my intelligence, despite all that, I could have very easily been this person walking around in a blizzard with a bag frozen to my hand. Like that could have been me for sure. Cause I'd absolutely leave the house without gloves all the time.
Yes. All the time. I'll be like, are you going to be warm enough? And I feel like I'm doing that unfortunate thing that women do sometimes where I'm like being Dan's mom, like put on your mittens, Dan.
You put on your mittens. Put your hat on so your ears like, don't freeze.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm like, my ears won't freeze. I've never frozen in my whole life.
I'm a Norse man.
I'm
Viking.
1/32nd Viking. I'll never freeze. And then 2 days later, I'm like, I think I got frostbite on my ears. I'm peeling skin off now and it hurts.
We need to get you some more warm winter clothes. Anyways, the woman's name who like would have been something, some kind of woman who had done something of this nature would have been a great ad to Shaun of the Dead instead of the way that it did treat women. Her name is either Shakira or Shakira Autry. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but you can Google her. She's actually like, save somebody's life. Did any woman save anybody's life in Shaun of the Dead?
I don't think so. I mean, it's arguable whether or not Shaun saved anybody's life or if he just caused more people to die.
Did any woman, this is the Leah test. Did any woman make a tangible decision about what to do next and have the men follow her?
Liz's biggest decision was, everybody shut up and let Shaun lead us to safety. To be fair, that was like his growth. Like he was like, it was this movie is all about Shaun taking control of his life. And in this moment, he was taking control. And she, as a character, her desire is that Shaun take control and become a grown adult and make choices in life that she doesn't have to make for him and
or herself, because as a woman sidekick, she's not there to make her own life decisions or grow at all.
Yeah. She's two dimensional,
barely
two dimensional. So
she just wants a nice dinner.
Yeah.
She wants.
Yeah, she's just like, give me a nice dinner. That's a bare minimum for me to continue devoting my life to you
and make all my life decisions, because I'm a woman, I can't make decisions. Be the head of the household, Shaun.
But you know, I think that comes from a place of realness. I mean, there's definitely times where you want me to take charge and not have you make all of the decisions for us, and I think that's kind of what they were trying to capture in this, and not necessarily paint her as a completely two-dimensional person that only wants Shaun to take care of her and just treat her nice, but rather she doesn't want to be Shaun's mother. And that's even a joke in the movie where he's going to Liz's house to like try to get back together with her before the zombies, of course. And he has flowers with him that he bought for his mother, and trying to convince her that he thought about her.
Oh my God, that was so horrible.
He's like, I got these for you. And she looks at it and she's like, to a wonderful mum. And he's like, yeah, because you know, you're always saying how you're mothering me. And and then, you know, I thought it'd be a funny joke, like to a wonderful mum.
She's like, these are for your mom.
These are for your mom.
which she gets later, which is kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? You're making me see it a little bit of a different way. So she is already an adult. She just wants Sean to be an adult. But I would have to say
she that wants if I was Sean to join her,
in adulthood, but she doesn't, like, she's still not a hero or like making meaningful. The only meaningful decision she makes is about Sean, and it's about breaking up with him. And then she, because she's just a passenger along for the ride pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah, I agree. And then she's probably much more of a passenger than the other characters in the group. Like Liz has, or not Liz, Diane has her moment where she teaches everybody to walk like a zombie because she's a theater teacher.
That's pretty great. And it worked too.
She did a David good job. Has his moments where he's a pompous intellectual and tries to display his intelligence over the intelligence of Sean. And also has like really douchey opinions about things. Like when Sean's asking anybody if they have a car and he's like, I don't see the need to have a car in London.
Good point. Also good for the environment. Yeah. So not good for the apocalypse, great for the environment.
Except for it's exactly in the moment where it is important to have a car in London during a zombie apocalypse where they need a car.
Unless the zombie apocalypse is nature's way of being like, let's get rid of these things, these human things that are fucking everything up. I don't know.
I mean, that's my belief, is like zombies are
the great cleanse,
a reset button for nature.
Yeah, let's hope it doesn't come to that, but recent human nature has not made me very confident.
So does this pass the Bechdel test?
So in the previous recording, Dan and I debated this a lot.
Oh my God.
I will acknowledge that there was a lot of debate. And to fast forward that debate and not rehash it, I will say, okay, it does barely pass the Bechdel test. Yeah, there are at least two women featured. There are four women, right? The mom.
Total, there's four speaking roles.
Speaking roles, yeah, that are featured.
But three main character women.
Yeah. And these women, number two, these women do talk to each other. And three, this is the part where Dan and I went back and forth a lot, whether or not they actually discuss something other than a man. And this is why I think it barely passes, because the one moment that happens is when Sean's mom, what's her name? Do we know it?
Barbara.
Sean's mom, Barbara.
And you know how I know that? Because it's a reference to The Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when they're talking to Sean's mom on the phone, they're trying to convince her that it's not safe and they're going to come and get her. And then Ed screams into the phone, "We're coming to get you, Barbara."
Okay.
Which is the opening of Night of the Living Dead, where Barbara's brother is with her at their parents' gravesite in a graveyard.
Wow.
And then he starts teasing her by saying, "They're coming to get you, Barbara." And she's like, "Stop, stop it.
It's not funny." I would also say, "No, stop that.
Stop that." He's like, "They're coming to get you, Barbara." And like scary hands, right? And then suddenly he's attacked by a zombie. And the zombie that attacks him is dressed the same way, in a tuxedo, like somebody that's been buried in a tuxedo, is dressed the same exact way as the zombie who walks into Ed and Sean's house and is in their living room, and even has like a little thing, like flowers from a gravestone stabbed through his chest, like in the beginning of that movie.
So it passes, this movie passes the excellent references to Night of the Living Dead test.
Yes.
And it barely passes the Bechdel test, or I'm bringing it full circle. It's one of my gifts as a facilitator. It barely passes because they do talk to each other when, is it Liz who discovers? Yeah, Liz discovers that Barbara has been bitten, and she takes her aside, and Barbara's like, you know, "I'm too bad that we've never met before." Basically like, "So glad to finally meet you, Liz."
Yeah.
And then she gives her a necklace, which I believe on that necklace has an object from Sean's father who died. And she wants Liz to have it.
I didn't get that, but you said that to me last night, and I'm just going to believe you. But I don't know if that's true. Now I have to look it up. I could be
making it up. We'll have to look it up because my memory is a faulty thing.
You're high.
True. True. And my attention span. But so they did discuss something other than a man, sort of, in the sense that they said that they were happy to meet each other, but it was ultimately about a man. It was about Sean. Everything about their conversation was about Sean.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd say like it barely passes. But then Drew Olds from a website that we were looking at to fight about this over like, I don't know, half an hour of the last version.
Drew Olds,
gender neutral name, don't know, says a film doesn't have to be a benchmark of feminism to pass. It's supposed to be easy. And that just makes it so much more embarrassing that so many films fail. So I'm okay with this. It barely passes the Bechdel test, but it does not mean that the characters that are female are even remotely fleshed out in the way that they could be or should be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this is where long form entertainment has more of an opportunity to do this, because this movie's Shaun of the Dead. So it makes sense that it's centered around him, because they chose him to be the hero. But I think that if Shaun of the Dead was instead of being a movie, if it were like a Netflix series with many episodes, like The Walking Dead, we could have followed Liz around for a couple episodes and seen what her life was like. And, you know, seeing her interact with her friends, and like maybe her and Diane would have conversations together that would be not about the other male characters, or Barbara could be talking to Liz in an extended form, or, you know, we see Barbara and her husband at home, and we could have explored these characters a lot more. But as a film, these things, you know, they get condensed to their simplest forms to be palatable to the screen.
I think that they still could have done better. I hear what you're saying, yeah. But I think could have done better. If they were like, wait a second, even though it's about Shaun of the Dead, women have more dimensions than Shaun.
Really?
And like that could show up in a lot of different ways, yeah, in a movie. They could show it in so many ways without taking much screen time.
I found in real life women usually have at least three dimensions.
At least three.
Yeah, from what I could see.
I'm pretty sure I'm three-dimensional, but we'll see. Yeah, so I think, you know, it passes. I'm really hopeful for future things that we talk about that like blow the Bechdel test out of the water, and I can be excited about it.
In which way?
Either. You know, I love a good rant.
Yeah. We've got titles like zombie strippers.
Can't wait. Stripping can be a form of empowerment. They could be like, if they have, they could, I bet you that one passes the Bechdel test actually. Anyways, I bet you there's two women who talk to each other, not about a man, in the zombie strippers movie.
Maybe. That, you know what? That would be a really interesting moment where we realize that zombie strippers passes the Bechdel test in a more significant way than Shaun of the Dead. That would be really interesting.
Stay tuned.
So would you recommend this movie to other Zedward lovers?
I would, with a cautionary tale that like, if you're a woman, if you're anything other than white, and if you are anything other than heterosexual, you will be offended. And if you're any of those things, you're probably still going to be offended, but just not personally offended. So
yeah.
If you know that in advance, trigger warning right there. It's a pretty decent movie. I would recommend it. I would give it a solid 7 Zedwards out of 10.
7 out of 10 Zedwards.
Yeah.
I agree. There's like, there's the cringe moments where you're just like, why did that have to be in the movie?
Could have replaced that with meaningful female characters.
Yeah. There could have been meaningful female characters. But I also appreciate how much depth the movie had. It has a lot more than I think a lot of people realize. And the fact that it could be viewed without zombies and it would still be a good movie, I think gives it a lot of credibility. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that I would give it 8 Zedwards, but also I would give it 5 cans of beans.
That makes somebody survive at least 5 days. That's pretty good.
Yeah. All in all, it's rated on IMDb as the best zombie film of all time.
That's ludicrous. I disagree.
Okay, well, maybe if we looked at Rotten Tomatoes, it'd be a different score, but on IMDb, it's rated the highest.
Disagree, IMDb. Sorry.
George Romero was very pleased with Shaun of the Dead and said that it was a very good homage to his films.
In that way, it's definitely like everything you've told me, a 10 out of 10. And when I watch Night of the Living Dead, I will make a list of all the things that I've seen in it that remind me of something from Shaun of the Dead. We'll see.
I also want to remind you of how terrible a lot of zombie movies are. I've got an image on my phone. Let me bring this up real quick. I just want to tell you some zombie titles. I'm just zooming in. All right. So first of all, Cockneys versus Zombies.
Cockneys versus Zombies?
Yeah, like
also like British.
British Cockney Zombies.
Okay.
Let's see.
Don't know if I want to watch that one, but I bet you I'm going to.
Okay. We're dealing with movies like Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies.
10 out of 10.
Hot Wax Zombies on Wheels.
That sounds like your literal fantasy movie. Oh my God. Spider Blood would also love that movie.
Zombie Tidal Wave.
It just shows ocean zombies.
Yeah, it just shows a boat in a tidal wave. I don't see any zombies on the cover. There's no names of anybody acting in this movie. It's just the tagline is landfall means our downfall. So I imagine that this movie is about a bunch of people on a boat avoiding going on land where they insist there are zombies.
Not a bad move. They do that in Fear the Walking Dead.
Zombie High pictures a woman from the waist down in a short skirt, gartered leggings and high heels with a zombie reaching out of a manhole, grabbing her ankle. And she's just kind of like, ooh. She also is carrying a book bound in a leather belt, like she's a 1920s child heading to school with an apple.
Wow. I am speechless. Okay. What else?
One more keystone of the zombie genre that I want to leave you with, knowing that Shaun of the Dead is at the top of this ranking, is a movie called Zombie Ass, Toilet of the Dead. Zombie Ass, Toilet of the Dead.
Are gremlins in it? Because that's what I always think about when I think about like horror movies with toilets, with gremlins crawling out of the toilet, which used to fucking terrify me as a kid. Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
No, but I will say there was a definitely period of time where I was probably Cameron's age and I shouldn't have been watching Gremlins, but I hid around the corner of the living room and watched it while my parents thought I was asleep. And I don't think I washed my hands for like a solid year after going to the bathroom, because I would go to the bathroom and then flush and run because I was convinced that a gremlin was going to grab me through the toilet. So
the old flush and run.
This might be traumatizing, like re-traumatizing for me, this movie. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, all in all, it's a fun movie. It's got depth. It's a good movie to think about. I like it. I like movies that you think about.
Yeah, and I like thinking about movies with you. But you know what I want to talk about before we finish, Dan?
What is that, Leah?
Your other favorite topic, your zombie book. How is it going? I haven't gotten to read it yet, so I'm still waiting.
I mean, I got to admit that writing hasn't been like the highest priority while we've been traveling for vacation. I got a few okay writing sessions in. Yesterday was my best writing day in weeks.
Amazing.
And I wrote 1,000 words.
Wow.
Enough for one picture.
One screenshot of your future movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But all in all, like I had some revelations. Even if I wasn't writing, I was thinking about it. And I came up with an interesting idea where, like, I have a problem with describing too much and writing too linearly. So, like, where I'm at, I'm just like, and then she went to high school where she did high school things. But I, you know, of course, describe it in much greater detail, like every fucking pen stroke that she makes on
the locker,
her notes, what the locker looks like, and how many people are there and what their names are. And I'm just like, I need to skip ahead and I need to find a way to move forward in this story in a meaningful way without having to spend huge amounts of time writing this stuff. So I came up with this idea where I'm literally just like, I put in tags, stuff goes here. And I briefly describe it like, girl is in high school, things happen, she fights with her boyfriend. And then I skip to the next scene, and then like, boyfriend's mad. He's paranoid about zombies being real.
It's almost like you're writing your book in the way that you tell me a synopsis of a book.
And I'd probably get a lot more done if I just did it that way. And I'm kind of struggling between like the hyper detailed stuff where I know I'm going to end up deleting like 95% of it and rewriting it. And the little blurb, like something in the middle where I'm like, they walked down the street. A zombie came. They killed the zombie. They felt bad about the zombie. This is my book. Get in line, people.
I have... Dan is underselling himself. I would not say this if it was not true. I do not give compliments unless they are true. You are actually a very good writer. And the few times that I get to see things that you write, or like, what was it that you described to me the other day? Oh, that's right. You described to me this memory that you had of your childhood, which without getting into it was like incredible the way that you described it to me. And I felt like I was there. And one of the details you gave was like your bare feet on the grass and how it felt. And so I can see why you'd be tempted to like J.R.R. Tolkien all of your descriptions, because you can world build with the best of them. Like you can make people feel like they're present. So I don't know how you find that balance, but I believe you will figure it out.
You know, to be fair, we were also high when we did that.
Did what? Oh, yeah, that was also the same night you saw my ghost grandpa.
Yeah.
So it was still good, not just because I was high.
Yeah,
let me compliment you, Dan. Take a compliment.
Yeah, I love your compliments, thank you.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I don't know what the next week or so looks like, because we're going to have visitors, and then shortly after we're heading to Jamaica.
Woo!
Where we're gonna discover if Jamaica has zombies
and better cannabis. Yeah. I'm gonna guess that it's really good there. So
I
kind of
like, I wonder if like, because I like gummies. What if they don't have gummies and they're just like, no, we just smoke it here.
We will have to buy some non-dairy butter and make cookies and see what happens. That would be quite an experience. We're getting an Airbnb instead of an all-inclusive because it's just not my vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can report back. I think that would be a thing that's like a zombie apocalypse recipe we might actually have to do in the future if that happens, is make our own weed cookies. Sorry, cannabis cookies. I'm trying to call it the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, cannabis cookies. That's really catchy.
Yeah.
Why isn't that a brand yet? Maybe it is.
Let's make a brand.
Cannabis cookies.
Cannabis
They're disgusting,
cookies.
Though. Oh, God. Well, you can make them tasty.
We'll sell phone covers.
It's called cannabis cookies.
Yeah.
Makes total sense.
The name does the marketing for us.
So Dan, with a picture of like a weed leaf with a cookie?
No, they're just regular covers. Has nothing to do with cannabis.
Are they even green at least?
No.
Okay. Makes total sense. So what are we reviewing next? We've done Shaun of the Dead. What's going to come up next for the podcast?
I think it's important that we don't like go swinging too hard out of the gate, because like we could do like Dawn of the Dead next and stuff. But I feel like we got to pump the brakes a little bit, because we can't do all the good ones and then have like 29 episodes of absolutely shit
zombie
movies.
Ass
zombie ass Toilet of the Dead. We have to watch it now. It's Japanese. It's probably not even subtitled because it's such a terrible movie.
We're watching them all. I can't wait for Zombie Strippers, honestly. Can't wait.
I can't wait for all of your groans of disapproval while we watch Zombie Strippers.
I should be clear, I'm also a recovering misogynist. It is not a thing that is unfortunately easy to escape.
Aren't we
here.
All?
I think so, yeah. If you grow up here, yeah.
Yeah. If you're alive.
Yeah.
Not everybody is alive, Leah. That's what we learned from Shaun of the Dead.
Are zombies misogynistic?
I think so. Probably.
I don't think so. No, I think they're equal opportunity biters. I don't think they care.
They don't have gender roles. They're just all zombies.
Yeah. And there doesn't seem to be any difference in like speed or agility, capacity. Yeah.
They're all slow as shit.
in Shaun of the Dead, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, what are we going to talk about next at the Zombie Book Club?
Well,
is it a book?
Actually, okay. So here's how I want to do things. This is a book club, right? But we're not going to insist that our listeners read a book every week. I know who you are. Most of you haven't read a book since high school. But there's a book that I want to recommend that I'm going to talk about. When are we going to talk about it? I don't even know when. In 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll release an episode. Wait, what's the plan? I'm looking at the notes. I don't understand what you wrote. Please explain.
Okay. Well, we'll start with this. We're going to talk about All Flesh Must Be Eaten, which next episode, which I believe is a game. I have never played it.
Right. Yeah. So
you're going to tell me about it because I'm not playing it. We've already discussed this. This is a
tabletop role-playing game similar to Dungeons & Dragons.
Wait, what if we make my mom play it New Year's Eve?
I don't even know what that would be like.
It would be amazing.
I don't think it would go well at all.
No. Yeah, she'd probably have nightmares. Okay, we can't do that to my mom.
We would probably sooner be able to convince your mom to smoke weed.
Oh, this is never good. We're never going to play that game.
For her card games, what is her favorite card game?
Hand and Foot.
Hand and Foot.
It's a family favorite.
Hand and Foot. We've also played other games like Gin. We played Gin with her, I think.
Yeah, and we played Asshole, I think, that you taught her.
Yeah,
and
I taught her a game. She does not remember it.
It was a while ago. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're not going to play All Flesh Must Be Eaten with my family. Missed opportunity. But we are going to talk about it as the next episode. And then we're going to give you homework today. Homework that I am not going to fulfill in advance. Yeah. So it's okay if you're like me and you don't read it. But
yeah, I'll just tell
Dan,
you
should read
it.
Because we do want to hear, we want to get your feedback and tell us what you think as well about the book. It's called Plague of the Dead by Z.A. Recht. Am I saying that correct?
I don't know. I've always said Recht.
Recht.
And I thought that maybe it was like,
oh no, I said
like
Z.
A zombie.
It's Zed. Zed.
It's not.
A.
It's not.
Zed. A not. As in Andrew Recht.
He's American.
Rachel Elephant. Charlie Horse Telephone is wrecked.
If anyone's high right now, I just apologize for the image that you just got in your head from that.
And the due date for discussion will be when we release episode 5. And that is approximately 6 weeks from whenever you hear this, because we are going to release an episode every 2 weeks. And this is episode 2. So if I'm doing math correct, which is 50-50, it's about 6 weeks from now, because episode 5, right? 2 to 3 is 2 weeks.
Sure.
3 to 4 is 4 weeks. 4 to 5 is 6 weeks.
I don't math good, so
no, neither of ours. This is good thing math doesn't seem very useful in a zombie apocalypse. Yeah.
So this is kind of like a double book club, because I'm going to be talking about All Flesh Must Be Eaten, which the core game rules are a book.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's a game, so I'll just talk about the game in general.
You know, if we're reined in Jamaica, like if something happens where we just don't have any ability to be outside, I will play All Flesh Must Be Eaten with you. So we'll see.
Okay.
that's the contingency.
I mean, I won't have any dice with me, but I mean, maybe I'll bring a couple.
So Dan, where should people follow you?
Oh, I don't even know, Leah. You know, the only thing that I can say for certain is we have a Discord. Discord will be forever. Discord is all.
until
the creators of Discord do something problematic, and I just can't forgive them anymore for their right-wing conspiracy theories. But until that happens, the description of this podcast will have a link, an invite. You can be invited to our safe house. That is the Discord.
Yeah, safe place for all zombies. Virtual safe place. So I don't know how safe that is.
I've been talking with people in the Discord, even though we haven't even released episode 1 yet. We've got about 25 members in our Discord.
That's because you're cool.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
That's me. Cool guy. Guy.
And then can they also find you on Counter Social?
I use Counter Social. It's like Twitter, but it's not run by an asshole.
That we know of. You never know.
Not yet.
Really is.
Yeah. I mean, I've read some things about the Jester who runs the place. His name is the Jester. Nobody knows what his real name is. It's great.
That's my brother's nickname. How odd. That's my brother's nickname. Is my brother in charge of Counter Social? No,
I
never
think
mind.
So. Is your brother a world-class hacker?
No.
Who was referenced in Mr. Robot?
Wow. Oh, I love Mr. Robot. Interesting. Okay. No, unfortunately not. My brother has many other forms of intelligence, but that's not it. That's not one of them.
That we know of.
I mean, he created spider blood.
So. Yeah, he made spider blood, not the
my sweet little nephew spider blood.
Our nephew spider blood.
Yeah.
No relation. Well, there you go, everybody. That's it. Follow us on Counter. Follow me on Counter Social. I talk on there all the time. At Dan is writing until I change it one day.
And rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I don't know where that is for you. But if you leave us your best zombie survival tip, preferably a ridiculous one, we will read it on air.
Oh my God. A ridiculous.
You don't even have to give us 5 stars. Tip. I mean, I'd like it. Oh, sorry. What did you say, sir?
We want a ridiculous tip.
I don't care. Make it interesting.
Yeah, make it interesting. Tell us your fantasies.
Oh, okay.
Tell us your power trip fantasy that you want to do to a zombie.
That works. Yeah. How would you kill a zombie? How would you survive? Whatever you feel so inclined to share, we will read it.
Yeah. Write us a short story and then I'll steal it and put it in my book.
Well, there you go. Evidence for a future person claiming that you stole their story.
Yeah. This is all the proof they need.
Yeah.
But yeah, follow us there. Also, let us know if you want us to be on different social medias like Facebook. I gave up on Twitter. You know, if Elon Musk sells Twitter to somebody else, then I'll consider coming back. But until then, you know, I'm open to the idea of going back to Facebook on my hands and knees and being like, I'm sorry, Mark Zuckerberg, you weren't as bad as Elon Musk. And now you're my only choice.
It's all relative.
A mini blogging social media platform.
Well, it's been a pleasure, but I think it's time to go for a walk with the dogs.
Oh my God, you said the W word.
I did, and Ziggy did not. He's sleeping. We're going to go for a walk.
Okay, well, goodbye, everybody. We're going for a walk with the dogs. Bye.
Bye. Go walk your dogs. Bye.